This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Football Sunday here at WEEI. Christian Arkin, Ted Johnson, Megan Ottolini, and Chris Scheim. And since it's 6 o'clock here, and we're having an unusual show today, going into playoff football here. Patriots and the Chargers kicking off at 8 o'clock. Here's Chris Scheim with They Said It.
1, 2, 3.
It's time for
playoffs? You kidding me?
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
I just hope we can win a game.
But they are who we thought they were.
They said it.
And we let them off the hook.
Football Sunday edition.
36 counter naked waggle at 7.
I'm just going to say it.
WEEI.
Alrighty, welcome into They Said It here. WEEI Football Sunday edition. Evening Football Sunday edition, I might add. Let's begin with your New England Patriots this week. Stephon Diggs talked about Drake May's overall demeanor and what he actually wants more of from Drake May. Here was Stephon Diggs.
I think at the quarterback position, how you deliver stuff is always important, and he does a great job at that. And, you know, I wish he was a little bit more meaner at times. I think that's part of just being young, you know. He's been playing extremely well, so hopefully he comes into his own as far as, like, his mean side. But he's a great guy, man. His communication is always there. He's been a great quarterback. I mean, he's our star. So I feel like it's never too demanding. It's more so like, hey, what you saw right here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I know what you saw. He know what I saw, but it's like, what you saw right here. So, yeah, it's fun.
I got to say, I think I understand what Stephon Diggs is trying to say, and I think he's probably a little bit right. But I do think that Drake May has a bit of FU in the way in which he plays towards the other team. Like, he has a bit of that, and it's not like a verbal FU. It's more like the Steph Curry, like, I'm going to hit a three and run the other way because I know it's going in type of FU. It's more of a confidence, just like an overflow of confidence. But, like, he maybe do you think he does need to be a little bit more of a an a-hole on the field with his receivers, Ted?
I don't. Because he hasn't earned it yet. He hasn't done it enough for a long enough time to earn it yet. So, I mean, the boys on the afternoon show asked Drake in their weekly interview, you know, kind of about getting after the officials. Well, you know, when officials miss maybe late hits on him. And he's like, well, I haven't really, you know, maybe later in my career. It's kind of the same thing. You got to earn the respect from your older players, especially the receivers you're throwing to, by stacking up wins and doing something in the playoffs and making a name for yourself. He isn't quite there yet. So, but that'll come. It's just way too early in his. I'd say another couple of years, then he'll feel more comfortable doing that.
Yeah, because was Tom Brady at all like that?
Just
gonna
say, like, Brady in that first season, it seemed like he was getting in people's faces
a little bit.
Whoa, he wasn't.
No, not to the receivers. No.
Okay.
No. I mean, he would talk smack to the defense.
Yeah.
Okay. But not to his receivers. That's different. That's like, you know, you know, a new young quarterback isn't going to be yelling at Steph Diggs or Matt Collins. You know, maybe Pop Douglas. You know, maybe Kyle Williams. But to the veterans, no. He feels like he has to do more before he would feel comfortable going after those guys.
Yeah, because there's definitely that, like, because he hit that the touchdown pass. I want to say it was the Baltimore game on Sunday Night Football where he does the airplane running away from throwing the pass. Like, that to me, I'm like, oh, like, he kind of has it a little bit.
Oh, big time.
But when it comes to being with the receivers, like, I don't think he wants to be, you know, a D-bag or anything like that.
No.
Yeah, I don't really think that he strikes me as the type that's going to be the kind of leader that is, like, Mr. Accountability.
Like, super fiery.
That just doesn't seem natural to him. Like, honestly, kind of in the same way that we hear people say, like, oh, I wish Jason Tatum was, like, oh, the only people that Jason Tatum barks at are the refs. And it's like, maybe you'll get that from Drake down the line. I just don't think it's in his personality, really, unless he did it super tongue-in-cheek, you know?
Yeah.
Like, ribbing guys a little bit.
Who do you think's got more of a killer instinct, JT or Drake May?
Well, JT, because he's a champion.
Okay, but, you know, just because he won a championship doesn't mean he's a
I don't want to get too far off track. I also think Tatum's going to be different in his attitude when he comes back. Not like he has a bad attitude, but I think he's going to be a little bit edgier when he comes back from the Achilles.
Okay. All right, well, another New England Patriot who spoke this week, this time about the other team, was Christian Gonzalez. Here's what he had to say about Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, he's an amazing quarterback, can make all the throws, can make plays with his legs. You know, they got a real good skill group, a good offense. So, I mean, they're going to present a challenge, and we're excited for it, but it's playoff football, so we're ready to go.
So, in the past, historically, when Bill Belichick would say he can make all the throws, it was just a way for
not
him to
good.
Say something about a quarterback, but
that,
actually right. meant
that
he's not that
not
good.
That was always true.
I know
that was some people's pet theories, and I remember it developing that way.
He said
way.
It about Zach Wilson.
Yeah. It wasn't always
and
what
and
he
to
meant.
Be fair, historically, Bill Belichick, at least defensively, owned Justin Herbert.
Yes. Like, yes, he did.
That is true.
And so I'm curious, do you think Gonzalez feels or has a bit of an overconfidence heading into this game, feeling like he knows what to expect from a guy like Justin Herbert?
I would say no. I think that, you know, for that defense, and specifically, I guess, we'll see what the matchups are like, but I don't think you're going to see Gonzalez on McConkie a lot.
No.
You might see him
on
Johnson or on Allen or one of those guys. And I think that you've seen him struggle a little on McConkie.
Yeah, you think
McConkie's smaller and shifty. I feel like
Gonzalez
is more of a big bounding type of athlete. You know, like that's how I sort of look at it. I think he could cover him. I don't think that it would be like
he's
impossible
covered Tyreek Hill
to do it. Yeah. I think that there's other better matchups and that he might be better off on a bigger guy. But either way, we'll see what they line up for him there. I just think that he struggled a little bit this year with some of the smaller guys and some of the bigger guys. Like, you've seen him have trouble with guys like Drake London, with A.D.
Yes.
Mitchell in that one game. You know, he didn't make a lot of catches, but he was getting old. And Gonzalez, I don't know. I mean, I think he's still a very, very good player, but I wonder how confident he is going into this game just based off of stuff like that.
I think the kid can be overly confident sometimes. I get the sense that he's got covers that he feels like he's too good for. Like, I got to cover this guy so he doesn't try. And so Aiden Mitchell, it gets by him for, you know, a play if he could just catch the ball. I just think sometimes he looks bored out there. Like, he needs someone to cover that's going to inspire him to play hard. Otherwise, he's
Tinsley
almost
on the
out.
Bengals. Remember that?
That was the low point, I'd say. That's interesting you say that you
like
think
he
looks bored out there. Like, he needs to feel like there's a challenge on the other side rather than just like, okay, this is my assignment today.
Yep. That's what it appears like to me, yeah.
All right, well, there's one guy in the media who believes the Patriots might have a specific edge in the coaching department. Here was Chris Sims talking about the Pats versus the Chargers.
I put this game in the category of the Bears-Packers, where I go, this is a coin flip game. It's a Chargers team that we know has been beat up on the offensive line. It's a Patriots defense that I do like, and I don't think the Chargers are going to be able to run the ball consistently on this Patriots defense. I trust that Josh McDaniels can crack the code of Jesse Minter more than I trust that Greg Roman's going to crack the code of Mike Vrabel and the defensive side of the ball, right? The thing I worry about is, like you said, it's Drake May's first start. This is new territory for this New England team. And the Chargers are a little bit, they're veteran. I think they're determined to stop this playoff drought. And that's what scares me. But I'm going to take the Patriots 20-17 at home. But I'll tell you, Mike, this might be one of those rare instances on Sunday night where I go the other way after a few more days of thinking of this. I think it's that close of a football game.
So my initial thought was heading into this game, right? Is there a clear coaching advantage on either side, right? Because we talked about it earlier, Ben Johnson for a little bit kind of puked on himself.
Right.
Same with Liam Cohen. These guys have both been here in the playoffs before. They have a lot of experience in these situations. Is there a clear coaching advantage, or is it kind of like a stalemate in that regard?
Advantage McDaniels. He's been there so many times before, and he's been deep in the playoffs. He knows when the different fluctuations of the games. Like, you're not going to find an offensive coordinator with a lot more experience in these big spots than him.
Greg Roman, he's been around for a long time.
He's been to Super Bowls. Like, he's been in AFC Championship games. So he's been around, man.
If what I look at, I give the advantage to the Patriots in the sense that if you look at their entire staff, there's former head coaches
Doug
on
Marone.
There. Doug Marone, Thomas Brown. You know, there's a lot of institutional knowledge in NFL knowledge on the Patriots coaching staff that I think the Chargers lack.
Well, yeah, I'd agree with that, too. And just real quick, when you hear him talking about the coordinators and the matchups there, Greg Roman going up against Mike Vrabel, I know he's not the defensive coordinator, but I don't look at Mike Vrabel's defense like this super impressive defense his brainchild, the same way I do Josh McDaniels in the offense going up against Jesse Minter. Yeah. Like, I think, yeah, that's a nice advantage there for the Patriots. I don't know about it the other way, though. I just don't know if I'd give it to him like
Ted,
that.
Ted, you mentioned earlier how sometimes offensive coordinators, especially the young ones, can get a little too in their bags, a little too cute in these playoff games. Do you think the same could be applied to Jesse Minter here, a guy who's being interviewed for head coaching jobs, young, up-and-coming defensive coordinator, might try to get a little too cute in the Patriots offense container? Advantage.
Absolutely. Can you guys think of, I don't know, get big games the Patriots have had? Maybe they, you'll see it as, wow, did they really need the blitz there? That zero blitz right there at that time. I don't know. You can think of maybe a game in the past, a big game where the Patriots did a zero blitz. Really? Was that the right? So it's kind of like, you know, like I always say, you know, if the call says for you to run the football, but the offensive coordinator is like, well, any offensive coordinator can run the football. I want to show them this scheme. This is really going to wow people. You know, it's the same on the defensive side. Sometimes defensive coordinators can call a blitz at the worst time possible or just leave a guy on an island when they shouldn't have. They should have been double teaming. Why weren't they double teaming Ladd McConkey on first and goal or third and goal on the 5-yard line in that situation? So there's even defensive coordinators can screw up calls. And yes, that's an excellent point. He's looking for a head coaching job. He's going to want to show everybody how great his defense is. And you don't do it by running 34 cover 2 every play. You do it by, you know, doing
exotic
of creative things. Yeah, that can hurt you if you're not careful.
For the record, you were talking about Plaxico Burress and Ellis Hobbs?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like that had to have been zero blitz he was talking about, right?
You, trying to lead you there.
I was like, it has to be. Yeah, it's the main one I could think of. All right. What else we got?
We got one more for you here. Mego hates this guy, but it's okay. Caleb Williams spoke after a big win for the Chicago Bears, and he had a message for the Green Bay Packers.
What message do you think that you sent to the Packers this season?
Yeah. We're here, I'm gonna be here for a while. Is my plan, and so, you know, be here with Coach, win a bunch of games, be in these moments, and you know, come out victorious. That's the mindset for right now this year. That's also a mindset for the future.
How do we feel about Caleb Williams' message to the Packers?
It's a great message.
Inspiring.
It really was.
Truly inspiring. It's like the equivalent of Charles Barkley saying, take that bleep off the windows. Yeah, so we're going to remember that one for a long time. That guy's
we're here.
Really, it's really motivating.
Yep. We're here.
Cool. He's got a future in media after the game.
Absolutely. And listen, I mean, he did the talking with his arm. That one throw.
That fourth down throw was one of the greatest throws I've ever seen.
In the playoffs, it's like an all-time throw, I'd say.
Oh, my God.
Considering like what it meant if he didn't catch that. Like, if he didn't complete that pass, it's over again. You know, that was the end of the game.
I'm curious if you guys thought similarly to how I thought about that. The presentation of that game, did you guys think anything of it? Like how Amazon presented the game?
No.
Okay, I thought it was incredible. They had camera shot. They had so many different camera shots of the fans and of the players and getting the reaction from. And they kept switching to.
They made you feel it.
It was like incredible how they made you feel the energy in that stadium with all the different camera shots. I thought they did a fantastic job. So, I just thought it was
Ted's like Scorsese talking about
it was,
cinema.
I think so clear the picture.
I think you have a great point. I think Amazon. This is a personal gripe. Might want different broadcasters to help portray that moment a little bit better. That's all.
I know what you're saying.
I think Kirk is great when it comes to college football, but Thursday night football doesn't feel the same, or this playoff game does. And Al
now
might
Michaels
just be kind of done. He's kind of just cashing a paycheck.
Well, but
he's not going anywhere
back?
Either.
Yeah.
Just like Caleb Williams, he's here now. He's here for another year.
That his call. I think it was a week or two ago. It was 2 weeks ago because it was the last Thursday night football game. The Seahawks game with the Rashid Shaheed punt return touchdown. It's like he was asleep when Rashid Shaheed caught it and started running and then didn't wake up until he actually got in the end zone. So, I think you're right, Ted. I think Amazon does a great job camera-wise, but it did the the play call or the broadcasters for me doesn't quite do it. But that'll do it for They Said It Today, Arkan.
There you go. That is They Said It with Chris Scheim here. Football Sunday edition. Scheim's going to get you caught up on what's trending. And Mego's going to leave. Bye, Mego.
Bye, Mego.
Wish me luck on Route 1. I'm nervous.
Enjoy the chowder down there. And we'll talk to you hopefully again next week. Mego, out of here. The three of us will hold it down here. In the meantime, Ted's got to leave too. Eventually, it's just going to be Scheim and I talking about all the crazy prop bets that we're going to be betting on.
That's
later
be
on. It will be a lot of fun. Coming up, we'll have more on the weather and the travel, the fact that the Chargers won in New England, and we'll get to the NFL coaching carousel. I know, Ted, you have a lot of thoughts on that and some of the hirings and firings that are going on here already as the postseason continues. First, though, here's Chris Scheim with an update on this Eagles-Niners game and all the other wild card games from the day and yesterday. Here he is.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Oh, baby, it's wild card weekend in the NFL. Your New England Patriots welcome in the L.A. Chargers for their wild card weekend showdown tonight. Kickoff is at 8:20 at Gillette Stadium. Eagles-Niners currently at halftime in Philadelphia. 13-10 Philadelphia Eagles lead. It has been really kind of just two big explosive plays for San Francisco. A 61-yard play to DeMarcus Robinson and a 45-yard play to Juwan Jennings that led to their two scores. Outside of that, they have not had a ton of sustained offense. George Kittle also got carted out of the game. Internet speculating it may be an Achilles injury, so we will keep you updated on that. Unfortunate injury for George Kittle. We had two Saturday games yesterday. The Rams got a touchdown with 38 seconds left. Matthew Stafford connected with Colby Parkinson to put the Rams on top, and they held on to beat the Panthers 34-31 in the opening playoff game of the weekend. And then the Bears last night put together yet another big-time comeback. This team has had, I believe it's six wins when trailing with 2 minutes left to go in the game, and they did it again. They were down 21-3 at halftime against the Packers, ended up winning that game 31-27. The one game we've had so far today, Buffalo and Jacksonville, the Bills scored with about a minute left on a Josh Allen quarterback sneak to take the lead, and thanks to a Trevor Lawrence interception on the next drive, they would hold on to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 27-24, and Buffalo advances. The final wild card game after the Patriots game tonight will be tomorrow night in Pittsburgh as the Steelers host the Texans. In non-football news, the Bruins put up 10 goals on the Rangers yesterday afternoon with a hat trick from both Pavel Zacha and Murat Husnadinov. David Pastrnak had 6 assists in the game. The Bruins underway again tonight. They are currently up 1-0 on the Penguins on the power play here in the second period. And the Boston Celtics lost to the Spurs yesterday, 100-95. They'll be off to Indiana to take on the Pacers tomorrow night. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
.com.
You know, if you close your eyes, it's like you're listening to Sinatra. It's really, old blue really something eyes there, really huh? How about that? This is Football Sunday here at WEEI. That was Pete Takes. Is that who it was? Pete Takes on the vocals there. Good writing. Voice needs a little
all
work,
over
but
my
yeah,
TikTok.
It's a pretty good one. I like that bluegrass song, those two guys.
Yeah, we had that one in the system. Let's rejoin
that
with that
next. That was pretty good. Yeah, we'll have that one next for you. A lot of Drake May
get ready.
Media going around.
Get ready. It's only going to get worse.
Oh, definitely.
Not worse. Better.
You know what I mean?
It's also going to get better.
Yeah, it is going to get better.
Better than that, I don't agree. Know. I mean, that was pretty good.
You wait.
But him, I mean, it's a power couple. It's him and his wife.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
You talk
about, she's getting her own show now.
It's crazy how she's, kind of ingratiated herself with the fan base here where Giselle had nothing to
Giselle
do with it.
Hated it here.
Oh, my gosh.
She did not like
couldn't
it here at all. Different. And meanwhile, and Michael Mays in Needham
too
over
cold.
At some pizza places with Portnoy.
Did you have an issue with her saying she's not a big chicken parm girl?
Not the way Wiggy did, I'm sure. But yeah, no, it's whatever. I mean, listen, people like what they like. It's a free country. You know, what are you going to do? But yeah, I do enjoy myself a nice chicken parm.
Same.
But also, it's not like she's.
Chicken parm.
It's not like
she's so good. It does.
She is also not someone who's like ignorant of food, you know.
No.
Like she's very tapped in. She cooks a lot. She bakes all the time. Like she, her opinions are valid. I'd
yeah,
100%.
Her pizza take was great.
I forget what it was.
I think she gave like an 8-1 on the pizza over there.
Okay.
Yes, Portnoy was a 7-7, so they were close enough. You know?
Yeah. She like before I mean, she's supposed to be really smart. Could have been.
She has
business.
Her master's degree.
Yeah, something. I guess she's a very, very well educated. And talented young lady.
Yeah.
Unlike stupid Giselle. No. Anyway, Giselle, I'm sure, is very lovely. But let's get into the Drake May conversation.
I feel
like we have an
instructor agrees.
A whole lot of it yet. Drake May versus Justin Herbert. This is Drake May's first playoff game. It is Justin Herbert's third. We talked about the pressure. Who has more pressure on him? I think it's definitely Justin Herbert. But a young quarterback going up against a veteran quarterback. Ted, you had it in the email here. There are some stats that point to that not really being an advantage for the Patriots.
Yeah, it's and I don't have the stats right here handy.
Well, I'm glad I put you on the spot.
Yeah, yeah. But sorry. I forget how many times, but a first year, not a first time quarterback playing in his first playoff game against a veteran quarterback, it's basically a 300 winning percentage. So it's basically 7 out of 10 a lose that matchup. Wow. So experience counts for something, right? But I don't know, Chris. I don't get the sense that this moment's going to be too big for Drake. I'm trying to figure out, you know, you go, what's the biggest difference between playoff football and regular season football? It's the pressure.
Yeah.
It's really, that's the one thing. The speed is the same. The plays are the same. Your keys
it's
are the
same. Game.
It's the same game. It's just more pressure. If you make a mistake, it gets magnified because you don't play the next week. So, do I think Drake's going to succumb to the pressure of this? I really don't. But some people think, hey, it's his first playoff game, that it will. And the stats and history would show you that it would affect him. I just think he's one of the guys that bucks the trends.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Williams did it last night. It was his first playoff game. He went out and threw for 360 yards in that game against the Packers. Like, I don't really put a whole lot of stock into that. I think it's really interesting that the first guy he gets to play in the playoffs is a guy that we've comped him to quite a bit, stylistically, kind of the way that which they play, their ability. They both have just unbelievable arm talent. Herbert's a bit bigger and stockier, but like height-wise, they're about the same. They're athletic. They're freaks. They get the ball down the field. They like to hunt down the field, and they're really, really, really accurate. And so it's really interesting to me that that's the first guy he gets to face, but can pass him almost immediately if he beats him in the playoffs. Because if he wins a playoff game, there's just no question that he's already, in my opinion, like a top 3, top 5 quarterback in football.
Yeah.
He wins the playoff game, and then it just becomes, he is a top 5 quarterback in football, and it's really hard to argue the opposite.
I agree, and I think that's part of the reason why I think this whole L.A. resting their starters in the last week. Okay, so you want Drake May?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's one thing to want to go to New England.
You want the possible MVP?
And go play in the cold and have to fly across the country. You want to play against him? You want your defense to have to try and figure him out? No one's figured him out this year.
Nobody.
You know, like, there's been some quarters or even some halves where he didn't play his best football. Second half against the Bills. I think the first quarter against the Bengals was not a good one. Like, he's had some tough moments.
They haven't scored less than 20 points since week 3 against the Steelers.
Yeah, that's who you want? You want that guy? that's wild to me.
You couldn't beat C.J. Stroud and the Texans. You want that guy? Like, that to me is crazy. I maybe they just wanted to rest him. Maybe Mego is right. Maybe they wanted to do it for the health factor. I think that's silly because you look at what this offense has put together with him at the helm this year, and they have been good against good defenses. I understand that a lot of these teams that they've faced aren't good, but the Browns have a good defense. Myles Garrett sacked him 5 times, and he still dropped 32 on him. Like, that's, I think, the major difference
in
this game.
The Bills had the best secondary at the time when they played. And he
number one pass defense in football.
And he had a perfect rating in the second half in that first game. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, just maybe, we'll see signs of him being a little bit nervous because we've seen early in games, earlier in the season,
gets jumpy.
Mind you. Yeah, right. So where the ball's sailing over guys, and you're like, okay, what's up with Drake May? But he's also a guy that's shown, even if he throws a pick early in a game, i.e. the Browns game, that he can overcome those mistakes. This Bengals game, he's down 10-0. Nope. mostly because of his own doing.
Yep.
No problem. He comes back and wins. So this team has room for error with Drake May as your quarterback.
They've had room for error this season, but has part of the room for error been the schedule? Like, has that been why they've had a little bit more grace? Because
yes,
they know that Justin Fields isn't going to come back and beat you.
That's fair. And the minute I said that, I was like, but it is the playoffs.
But
the
he
best
did it
teams.
Against the Ravens, too, who were, fighting for a playoff spot on the final game.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But, I mean, even still, he played great in that second half.
He did play well.
It's just because Derrick Henry didn't touch the field. But, like, regardless, I don't know. I think that against a defense like the Chargers, they're – like, they've been good. They've been stingy is the way I would put the Chargers defense. I don't think they've been elite. Like, this is not Houston's defense or Philly's defense or anything like that. You can get plays on this Chargers defense. We saw C.J. Stroud in the game against the Chargers, the first two drives of the game, complete long passes down the field for touchdowns right away. If he can do it, Drake May can do it. That's kind of how I look at this matchup. Like, and then on top of it, you add in how effective, Ted, you brought in great stats earlier on how effective Ramondre Stevenson has been the last month of the season. I just think the Patriots offense is humming at such a level right now that they should absolutely win this football game.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane as the Patriots and the Chargers are two teams that have played each other recently in the playoffs. They played each other in the playoffs like back in the 60s. We'll skip that one. But how about 06-07? That was the Marlon McCree game with Troy Brown knocking the ball out, which was one of my favorite plays. I mean, that was their undefeated season in the playoffs there, and they didn't end up obviously completing the undefeated season. But, yeah, that was that was 06. That was the year before.
That was the Rashay Caldwell year.
That was the Rashay Caldwell. The next year was that was the undefeated season.
The 06 year was
and that was Philip Rivers.
The 06 year was the year the Chargers were 14-2 under Marty Schottenheimer, and they were like the best team in football, and then they got bounced, I think, their first playoff game by the Patriots.
Was that LT sat out the game? He was his name?
No, that was 07.
Yeah, that was 07.
Okay. That was the next year.
06 was the classless game, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
When they were doing the lights out dance.
Yep.
Tomlinson got all upset and
so
had told everybody, "I'm very classy," and it's like, buddy, you can't do that. Like, it's like a nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname. You can't call yourself classy. Other people have to call you classy.
Yeah.
You can't call yourself classy.
Classless.
And then the next year was 07, and that was Rivers playing on a torn ACL. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tomlinson was hurt and couldn't do anything in that game. And that was the game where you saw Tomlinson sitting on the
sideline. With the visor and the
big jacket, pouting the whole time, and really looking like a baby. And I thought that was a great follow-up to the whole I'm so classy thing. And then there was the Patriots' last Super Bowl, 2018, Chargers in the first round before they played the Chiefs.
They didn't
and
have
that
a
was
chance.
Sony Michel just went nuts in that game.
I remember watching that game. I was at a brewery up in Keene, New Hampshire, and I watched that game.
You know why they didn't have a chance in that game? Because they beat the Ravens. They had to fly out in the wild card round to play the Ravens, okay? And they beat the Ravens, and what do? They get on a plane and fly all the way back out to San Diego or wherever. If they're in L.A., I don't remember how long they've been in L.A. And then they fly back all the way out to play the Patriots, and it was like they didn't have a chance. That's just too much travel in such a short week. They didn't have a chance in that game.
No, they did not. It was a nice warm-up for the Patriots, too, because that game the next week against the Chiefs.
Oh.
One of my favorite games of the entire Brady Belichick era.
No doubt.
That was awesome.
So good.
What a great game. And, there you go. So the Patriots and the Chargers, teams that have met up before, but this is a new Patriots team. It's a new day, as Tommy Kern was saying. Basically a new organization. Like, we're talking about the new look Patriots, really more so than we have when Mac Jones was the quarterback that first year. That was still Belichick. It was still the Belichick Patriots. This is a whole new thing that we're seeing here, and it's first real test. I mean, this is it. This is the first real test for this group.
Well, and if you think back to that Mac Jones playoff game, right? Like, I'm alone.
I'd rather not, but yeah.
I'm alone in that I never thought Mac Jones was good. But there was a point in time that season where everybody thought the Patriots were back, and like, here it was. And then you got your doors blown off by the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. Like, this to me feels so much different. I'm going into this game fully confident in the fact that the Patriots can win. They're at home. They're a 14-win team. Drake May's an MVP candidate. Like, this to me is such a better foundational standpoint than what 2021 was.
I agree. So let's stop. Choke this one away.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
don't.
Why. That's why
please
I'm God, like. So I'm putting a lot on this game.
You can't deal with Curtis.
My family thinks
happens.
I'm crazy when I think when I say I'd be very, very, very disappointed. Almost small f failure if they don't win this game. The season will feel ugh. And I'm telling you, they won't admit it. And I get it. You know, the more time goes on in the offseason, they'll have perspective. But the players themselves and the coaches will all think that too. Man, you got to validate what has been a magical season with a win. I think you said it, Sean, earlier. Like, just advance to the division round. Just can we get to the division round? Unless they're playing the Steelers, then I'll change my opinion.
Same.
But get to the division round, and to me, it just, you got to put that cherry on top of what's been an amazing season by winning tonight.
C.J. Stroud, in his rookie year, they played Flacco and Cleveland, I think, in the first round and beat them. Wow. And then the next week, Lamar Jackson just blew their doors off.
Yes.
But they got to that next game. You know, like that, it was a big deal. If that had happened in the first week, it would have been a totally different narrative.
Entering C.J. Stroud's second season, that's a great point, Arkin, because entering that second season, everybody believed in C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Nobody had a negative thing to say about him after that first year because, like, oh, you get there, you win. Jaden Daniels entering this year. Before the season started, everybody's like, kid got to the NFC Championship game. Like, not a bad thing to say. And I think Drake May will have that same effect happen around him as long as you win a playoff game.
Certainly. All right. I want to talk a little bit about the NFL coaching carousel, which is already getting underway. A lot of guys getting fired. A lot more than you thought, Shime. I know last week you were saying it'd be like maybe one or two. It ended up being a few more than that.
It's crazy.
Biggest surprise and biggest take so far on who's going where and how this all may shake out.
I think the interesting thing is that John Harbaugh specifically took the week and did not take an interview. I was surprised they ended up firing him. I didn't think they'd actually pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. They did. The more surprising thing is to him, or to me, it indicates that he believes a playoff team may have a coach opening soon, because otherwise he would have just started taking interviews. Mm. He knew all the possible places, destinations he could go, start taking interviews, figure out where you want to go. Well, no. He's like, I'm going to wait a week before I start taking interviews, because clearly he feels like a team may become open very shortly.
Yeah, and like I'm, a team that's playing, still playing.
Yeah, a team that's still playing, or Buffalo, a team that's already played and lost.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So I'm really kind of, I think that's been the biggest surprise to me so far, is that not only have these coaches been fired, but now Harbaugh seems to almost expect another guy to get fired.
Yeah. I mean, that's people are expecting maybe the Bills firing Sean McDermott. That would be an option. The word is that the Giants, as they should be, would be very, very interested in John Harbaugh. The only thing is they're keeping their general manager, which is interesting to me. The Miami Dolphins
for now.
Because
it happened last year.
Even
too,
the Dolphins
the
hired a new general manager.
Yep.
And I think that's a little bit. If you want John Harbaugh, you're probably gonna have to bring in his guy. Is my guess. But I was looking for the tweet. I couldn't find it. But I saw a list of the demands that Harbaugh is asking for. It's basically $20 million salary, $10 million for budget for the coaches. And he gets to bring in his guy, and he gets to make all the decisions. Yeah. So something like that is, I could see him kind of making those demands. I don't know. What team is willing to do that? I'd be curious. But
should talk to Bill Belichick. Right? I mean, didn't Bill come out after he got fired and have a whole bunch of demands and everyone's like, no thanks, Bill.
Yeah, but Bill had a bunch of like really bad seasons.
He's also 20 years older.
Yeah, Harbaugh has not had that many bad seasons. He's had 18 seasons of a lot of success, recent success. He's been in the playoffs every year until this year. Like, and Lamar Jackson has been good. I mean, he's won multiple MVPs. I think John Harbaugh is absolutely the number one candidate. The other guy that shocked me that got fired was Mike McDaniel. And it's not necessarily the fact that he got fired that surprised me. It was the timing of it. It was, he came out and did a press conference like, I'm excited to help assist with developing the future of the organization and all this stuff. And then 2 days later, he gets canned. And
It seemed like someone told him he was safe, and then he wasn't. Well, yes. Right? That's what it sounded like.
He went and talked to the owner. And in that meeting, the owner decided however Mike McDaniel presented himself in the meeting to Stephen Ross, it turned him off and he got fired.
Either that, or it was because if you remember, they brought in Troy Aikman to help with the GM search. The other option is that when Troy Aikman came in, they're like, well, why don't you do like a whole organization evaluation?
Right.
And he said to them, I would get rid of that guy.
Yeah.
And then they fired McDaniel and then hired this John Eric something to be their new GM.
There's something I saw out there where it's basically Mike McDaniel talking about football and early in his career there, and then talking about football later in his career. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And a lot of his press conferences are just so wacky and out of there. You wonder, what the heck's going on?
But if you're a team, if you're a head coach in need of an offensive coordinator, isn't he the first guy you're calling?
An offensive coordinator, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
And here's the name I got to get out. I got to get out that I just can't. Please do not. If this guy gets another head, is Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy.
Please, God, no.
He sits out a year, and then he gets a cush job, and then he gets fired, and then he makes a lot of money, and then he sits out a year, and he gets hired again. Who is going to hire Mike McCarthy?
Well, so it's interesting you bring that up, and he would qualify under this category because Curtis had asked a question. How many times has a coach been fired and gotten hired for a third time without winning a Super Bowl? And it's only happened twice. I forget he won with Green Bay. It's been so long that I forget that he won with Green Bay. So I guess he would technically qualify under he won a Super Bowl. Which, so he would pass anyway. But still, he's terrible.
He had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback and only won one Super Bowl. Sorry.
Did you also see in Tennessee they interviewed Jason Garrett?
I heard that. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Man.
What are we doing?
Dude, like, interviewed him to be the head coach.
Yes.
And so this was my issue when we talked about it originally, why I thought only like one guy would get fired. You're interviewing Jason Garrett? Like, that's how bad the incoming coaching crop is.
He should stay on TV. Garrett's good on TV, I think he is. Yeah, I watch him on TV. He's better than he was a coach.
Get back to clapping. Get back.
So vanilla.
If he gets hired by the Tennessee Titans, Arcand, I promise you, I will be betting against the Tennessee Titans on a weekly basis for the next until he gets fired.
Watch Jason Garrett. He's
you ready for Coach Prime in Cleveland, huh? You ready for that?
Sure.
Yeah,
fine. That'd be at least be fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. Let's go to the phones here quickly. 617-779-7937. John is in the car and has a thought on validating the season. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Teddy, I totally disagree with your take about you need a win here for everybody to have this magical season. Just like at the beginning, that's so off base. At the beginning of this season, everybody's story, everybody's take was, this is all about how Drake Mays played. This season isn't about wins and losses, and we need to continue that same mindset. Patriots fans will feel so much better with a 35-38 loss and May throwing for 350 yards with four touchdown passes than they will if they lose this game and he throws for 102 yards and four picks. This is about having him play well at quarterback and establishing the foundation for the future. It's not about a win or a loss tonight. It's all about how Drake May plays. I'd like to hear your take on that.
John, real quick, before we let you go here, do you think that they feel that way in Jacksonville right now? Like, even though they lost, it was still a great season?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
Like, I think when you have the success,
I guess
you have
if
the
you're just talking
season,
about Drake May and what kind of game he has, then that's sort of
but
putting,
you have
making
to change
it very
your expectations.
Narrow, but,
like you, when I came into this season, I thought this team was an 8-9 win team, max, and they won 14 games.
Sure.
So, thusly, my expectations in the playoffs have to adjust to what they showed me in the regular season. And what they showed me is Drake May is an MVP candidate. They're the number two seed in the AFC. You should beat the Chargers in round one of the playoffs.
I concur with everything Shime just said. That's what it is. Their success made me recalibrate what I expected on the team. It's just, I had one expectation to start the season, and just like you, Chris, I had them around 8 wins, which to me would have been great, considering where they've been.
Double your win total from the last 2 years.
So it's just, I'm just telling you, when you have a season like this and you have a pathway that they have, I mean, Denver Broncos are your number one seed in the AFC. It would be disappointing, in my opinion, to lose this game, considering how well they played and what the path looks for them down the road.
I have bad news, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Derwin James, you seen this?
No.
Derwin James is on the field, running around, no shirt, wearing shorts, and a little pom-pom hat.
Is that bad?
It's bad because it means he's not bothered
not
by the cold.
Affected by
he might not be, but that left-handed Justin Herbert might be bothered in the third quarter.
Certainly could be. Anyway, we got Derwin James out there peacocking around in the field.
If we see Herbert doing the same thing, then get worried.
Yeah.
Because the guy, that's the guy that matters the most.
Yep. All right, very good. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in here before we hand things over to kickoff. 645 coming up here. It's Wiggy's Keys. We got Wiggy's Keys to the game. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming your way next. Football Sunday here at WEEI. More Drake May content
here we go,
for you.
Man.
Pretty good.
It's
who's
only
this?
Beginning.
Who's this, Thomas?
This is Nikki G.
Nikki G in the place to be with his song Drake May.
You're all for this nickname, right?
Yeah, I love it.
I feel like you invented it.
I appreciate you giving me credit for that. I think it's just that I've brought it to your attention so much.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to take credit for it.
I
appreciate
you did
it,
too,
though.
Man.
Like I can trace it back to you. Like, I don't know who it goes, like, beyond you.
You know, I feel like I would like to, you know, I just consider myself one of the, you know, the founders of the real, like, Drake May tribe that we have going on here. And so, you know, I'm just glad I was able to share that with you guys. Yeah. I love the nickname.
I mean, it's what I like the kind of the essence of the nickname is there's nobody can do what he does.
Nobody.
Only he can. So that's that I said, I just didn't think that. The nickname, you know, I didn't understand quite the nickname on her at first, but if I think of it in those terms, I go, you know, it's pretty good.
It's
great.
I mean,
no one can do what Drake May does.
It's true.
He is him.
I was at the Celtics game last night, and I don't know if they were selling these shirts outside or what, but the I Heart Drake May shirts were everywhere.
Oh,
yeah. Everywhere. Every time they cut to the fans dancing around or whatever, doing the legal seafood thing, everybody had those shirts on. They
It's the one thing I don't have. I need to get on that.
I know. You got like three different jerseys and you don't have that one shirt?
No.
You're going to have to get one. And by the way, you can't get a Drake May jersey anymore.
No.
I mean, they
sold out.
Oh, yeah. For Christmas? You kidding me? They were impossible to find.
I ordered mine the night he was drafted. Like, the moment he was drafted, I was sitting in this very room, ordered it online because I wanted it immediately, and I've never looked back.
Very good. All right. It is 6:45. Let's get to Wiggy's Keys.
It's hard for me to be wrong. This is what I would have did.
Wiggy's Keys.
What up? Your boy Wiggy here with my keys to the game. Key number one, I'm going to say this. I got to go with, got to be able to run the football, especially in the postseason. This is where running the football helps you get all the way and win championships.
Okay, running the football is, I mean,
we're so back.
Wiggy's Keys got to have run the football in there somewhere, but I'm 100% on board with it this time in a very real way, in a very material way. I think if this team really wants to have a good shot at making a deep run, Ramondre Stevenson is going to have to play a big role in that. I mean, I know we all talk about Drake May and all the things that he can do, but having a run game, and not just a run game, but the way he's looked the last month plus, if you have that element to your offense, then there's, I don't know. I mean, I think the ceiling's very high for this team.
I also think so many NFL teams now, you're starting to see the shift back. Ted, you know this. You played in the league. There's so many cycles where teams are really pass heavy, and then it comes back to run because there's too many light guys on the field. And you're seeing that transition into heavier run teams, less variance in kind of the offense. It's more possession and kind of take away some of the craziness that can happen with a high volume pass offense. And so I think right now it is so important when you see teams like Buffalo, terrible, number one in the league against the pass, terrible against the run. You can run on the Denver Broncos. You can run on the Houston Texans. You just have to be committed to it. And the offensive line is going to be, you know, the kind of key driving force behind this. And I think they've been better over the last month. And Ramondre Stevenson has been better and kind of benefited from it.
Talk about cyclical. The last year's Super Bowl winner was led by a running back, right?
Bingo.
And you got running backs that are kind of, I don't know, they're making more money the last couple of years based on it.
I think it was 13 running backs with 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah, right. And so just to your point, the Chargers play a lot of nickel, right? So they like to have five defensive backs on the field, so they're lighter boxes. Okay, the Patriots, what are they going to do to counter that? Are they going to put more big personnel groupings out there like they have been recently? We will see. But, yes, take advantage of their quote-unquote light boxes because – they love to play with a smaller defense more than most teams, and so can they exploit that?
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. All right, let's get to our next key, please.
Number two, take advantage of that weak offensive line that the Chargers have. You got to be able to create pressures. You got to get Justin Herbert on the ground, or you got to force him off his spot. Take advantage of being able to get after the quarterback.
Okay, so there's the old cliche. Right, it's true. The old cliche is an unstoppable force and an immovable object. This is a very stoppable force in the Patriots' pass rush and a very movable object on the Chargers' offensive
Something's
line.
Something's got to give.
Indeed, Rich Keefe. So what's going to give? What's it going to be, Ted?
I'm guessing the Patriots are going to probably come up with, I don't know, a plan, hopefully involves more than four rushers, but timely blitzes, I think, are important. If you're going to blitz, make them timely. What you see is the Patriots do a lot of blitzing from the second level, middle linebackers or safeties or corners. And that those guys that are blitzing from the second level, they're a little late getting there. So because they're from off the line, and so by the time when the ball snapped, they you know, takes them a little longer to get there. Have guys all lined up on the line of scrimmage. I would make so he doesn't know who's rushing, who's get dropping back. Confuse the offensive line when you have two tackles like they do that aren't that very good. You can exploit them by disguising with your alignment. Really screw them up with your alignment, lining up on the line of scrimmage. And if you come, dude, you can get to the quarterback faster than from that second level. That's what something I would try. Other than that, a lot of two- and three-man games is what I would recommend with just four guys.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because the play that comes to mind, I think it was the Marcus Jones sack. It was against Miami or 2 weeks ago now.
Yep.
It took forever for him to get to the quarterback, but luckily the coverage was really good. The quarterback had to hold on to the football, so he got there and made the sack. But it took him like forever just to get to the quarterback.
That's a good point. And if you're going to rush from the second level, then you got to be the coverage just has to be really good,
immaculate.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's get to our third key to the game.
And number three, create turnovers. Create, whether that's punching the ball out, interceptions, forced fumbles, you got to be able to create turnovers. You do those things, you'll win this football game.
Mega was big on this, trying to turn over Justin Herbert, all the fumbles that he's had this year with that bad hand. Certainly an opportunity there for the Patriots to try and flip the field in their direction. Not something that they've done a whole lot of this year, but when they've done it, it's been just like it is in any game. It's a huge, huge difference maker, and this is the playoffs where mistakes like that can compound. And a guy like Justin Herbert, who I think we all agree has a ton of pressure on him not to be a scarlet lettered choker here, is going to be worried about that, especially if it starts to go sideways for him early on.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it even in the game earlier today. You saw the two turnovers by Trevor Lawrence were two massive, massive reasons why the Bills won that game. Trevor Lawrence had the ball with a minute left to go in the fourth quarter and a chance to go down and at least tie the game with a kicker who's hit a 70-yard kick, by the way. So you just had to get to like the 50-yard line to at least give him a chance, and instead on the very first play, you throw it into tight coverage and you throw a pick. Like, that's going to be the difference.
So the Patriots were not doing very good turning the ball over. Their defense early in the season were pretty good, and then they just hit a lull there where they just couldn't get turnovers. And then they started practicing it, and then they started focusing on it in practice. And then the Baltimore Ravens game comes, and Clavon Chason punches the ball out. I think it was Trey Flowers, right?
Zay Flowers, and they had the fumble on Derrick Henry even earlier in that game.
There you go. And they had two turnovers last week against the Dolphins. So they made it an emphasis in practice more later in the season, and so my hope is that carries over, because turnovers in the playoffs are really, they're just huge and so punitive for the team that does the turning over. So the Patriots defense, they got it in their brains to go after that ball because of how they've been playing the last few weeks, because they've been practicing it. So I'm expecting that tonight.
Very good. We got some good news with the inactives here. You see this?
I have not.
Very, very good news here. Your inactives are as follows: Jeremiah Webb, Braden Swinson, Marcus Bryant, Caden Wallace, CJ Dupree, and Kyrie's Tonga, which means Booty's playing, Landry's playing, Spillane's playing, and Wilson's playing on the line. You got your starting offensive line, you got your top pass rusher, you got an important wide receiver, and you got your middle linebacker, who, if we're talking about stopping the run and limiting Hampton and Vidal, that's a big, big part of that right there in Robert Spillane. So very, very good news. Who knows if those guys are all 100% ready to go or not, but they're all playing, they're all going to be in uniform, and they will be on the field. So there you go. There's your inactives. Patriots and the Chargers kicking off in a couple hours. Coming up next, though, we will have the top Ted list before Ted has to skedaddle up out of here, too. For the uninitiated, it's just Shyam and I firing questions at Ted until we run out of questions. And that's coming up right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.